Blog Talk Radio.
As we journey through this book, we will uncover, unfold, discover, reclaim, destroy, lift up, cleanse, and heal, making our vagina a sacred place from which love and peace emanate. Healing and shifting our universe as we send beauty into the world. We will heal all that comes into our cosmic, energetic, and physical space with our mind, body, and spirit. This journey is going to take us to places that we forgot, that we didn't want to revisit, but that we carry with us everywhere we go. Ladies, this is serious work. This is loving work. This is healing work. You are queens, goddesses, and mothers and creators of this earth. Let's walk fearlessly as we heal thyself, overcoming the angry vagina.
Oh,
Welcome, ladies. This is Monique Nubia Sunshine coming to you today, Sunday, April 12th, for our Overcoming the Book Read that we've been doing for quite some time. And I've been MIA for a couple of weeks, just really entertaining company and family, so haven't been able to do the shows, but I'm glad that we are back. And what I may do in the future is just maybe do shows every other week or so, depending on what the schedule is like. But give me your feedback on what you think if we do an every other week show or continue with the every week as we journey through this book. I do want to let you know ahead of time, just in case we get disconnected or I get disconnected, please stay on the line and I will jump back in and resume the call. Lately, it's been happening throughout Blog Talk Radio that many calls have been dropping during the course or during the middle of some of these shows, and I don't believe they've rectified the problem yet, but hopefully they do it soon. It is definitely an inconvenience. As we last left off in the book, we were talking about different strategies, tools and strategies that we need to do in order to start doing this womb work. And as this book is very different from the Sacred Woman Journey or the Sacred Woman book that we've been reading, in that we can actually break down each gateway into better understanding, this book is really just a self-help book. And really the book read is serving as a purpose for those who may not have the book and is interested in understanding or learning on how to overcome their angry vagina, and it serves as a guide for those who do have. What I am beginning to notice during the course of this book read or as I am reading the book, it definitely is a book that is more or less like a journal for self. So it's really a little difficult to format it in a way where we can do a full-fledged book read. But I am making it so that I can actually be able to make it a little more understandable, emphasize the fact of healing, and emphasize how great and important it is for us to begin some type of work. Now, I know through the course of reading The Sacred Woman and reading this book, at some point some of us have to start to open ourselves up to actually doing the work. Because in as much as I see just in The Sacred Woman Journey group, so many women who want to utilize their eggs, who want to utilize doing breathing techniques in order to begin a healing process or at least begin some sort of ritual or exercise in manifesting better things in their life, there needs to be a healing piece first. There needs to be removal of some things first. There needs to be a building of habits and things like that. And the reason why I say that is, you know, like I said, with women wanting to use the jade eggs or the yoni eggs in general, it is my strong belief, and me as yoni practitioner and someone who does meditation and does yoni breathing, it is my honest belief, and this is how I work with clients, is that there needs to be some healing first before you start working with an egg. Because when you're working with an egg, it is part of the healing process, but I do believe that we need to understand how the egg works in our bodies. And if there is trauma, if there is resentment, if there's anger, if there's frustration, and we are not in the process of healing that or working with that or blockages and things, it can affect how the egg reacts in your body. For instance, if you are like someone like myself, I could tell you my experience when I first started using the egg. I didn't know what I was doing. I was in a rush to do it because I thought it was an awesome thing. I've never known about this before. It wasn't something that I grew up on. It wasn't something I've ever known about. And once it was introduced to me, you know, I had very little knowledge on how it works and why I was doing it. You know, it was just more or less the fact of, oh, well, this is the thing that was introduced to me as I'm on this journey of becoming awakened or conscious or whatever people want to call it. And this seemed to be the natural order of things in the likes of beginning that process of healing and meditation, but not really knowing exactly what I was doing it for. Was I doing it because everybody else was doing it? Was I doing it because it became a popular thing now? What am I doing it for? What is the reason that I need to do yoni breathing? And what is the reason, or not even so much yoni breathing, what is the reason and the purpose for me to have an egg inside of me? Because she said it was good for me? Okay, so let me do my research. But before I got to the place of doing my research, I actually put an egg inside of me. Now, I didn't put an egg that you buy from a dealer or from anybody. I put a crystal that I thought was in the shape of an egg, and I liked it. I knew the properties of it, but I just put it inside me because I thought that that was the thing to do, okay? And just based on a little bit of knowledge that I had of yoni breathing and things like that, that's what I thought was the thing to do. Put it inside, okay, and let's see what's going to happen. It's going to promote some healing. And after a couple of weeks of doing that, thankfully, I didn't get sick, but I noticed the texture of the crystal was different. And it wasn't as glossy and shiny as it was when I first got it. And that's because the bodily fluids that were inside of me were stripping it of its luster. And where was this luster that was on this crystal going? Directly inside my body. Okay. Creating toxins or becoming a toxin, or the toxins from the crystal was inside my body. Now, like I said, thankfully I didn't get sick from it, but I had no idea what I was doing. And I say this because there was a young lady who asked about just putting any old crystal inside of her and if that was going to be good. No, it's not good. We need to know what we're doing. We need to not be in a rush, and we need to know exactly what we're doing, and we need to know why we're doing it. Because I did what I did because I'm thinking, oh, it's going to I can meditate in all my manifestations. No, what is the true reason for us to put these eggs inside of us? What is the quality of that egg? What does it do? How will it help me? And what is it that I need to utilize it for? We need to understand all these things before we start putting these things inside of us. We also need to understand how our body works. And many of us don't know how to do any type of yoni breathing. Many of us who have had children and babies, and I'm not going to say everybody, has the majority of us have had C-sections. Some of us have not given birth naturally. And even for those who have given birth naturally, many of us typically didn't take Lamaze classes. Some of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but some of us. So the breathing techniques that you do with the yoni breathing is very similar to Lamaze classes. Actually, it's probably where it was adapted from, and it was just changed in order to emulate that so that your partner is involved with you. And see, when I do the tantric rituals with yoni breathing, it is simulating a birth. So you want to know how to do that before you put an egg inside of you and you get it stuck inside you and be fearful that it won't come out. Now, when I first put the egg inside, I had two, I'm not going to call it an egg because it wasn't an egg, it was a crystal. I put the crystal inside, and didn't remember that I had it inside me the last time that I had did it. So I had one that was identical, and I put that one inside thinking, oh, okay, I didn't put it in, and I put it in. When I put it in, maybe like a day or so, I was a little concerned because I didn't know what I was doing again. And so I was a little concerned that it didn't come out, and I started to panic. I called my tantric coach, and I was like, this egg is stuck inside me. I can't get it out. It hasn't come out. He said, it'll come out. Give it time. It'll come out when it's ready. Okay, so I gave it another day, and I started to become impatient because I'm like, something's wrong. This should not be sitting in me like this for a long time, you know. And so I became impatient with it. I became frantic. I became nervous. So I decided to go up in. When I did, I realized there was two of them inside, both sitting on opposite sides, like little ovaries inside me. They nestled themselves in a nice little comfortable place. One of them I was able to reach and pull out, and the other one I had the hardest time. I was pushing it even further. And I started to truly panic, started to cry. I started to go through all the things that we typically go through when we are in labor, pain, nervousness, frustration, crying, just all that kind of stuff, going through the same thing. And I didn't know what to do, even though this was all emulating a birth of sorts. And so I called my tantric guru again, and I said, I can't get the other one out. And he's like, it's going to come out. Don't worry. It's going to come out. So I hung up in frustration, still trying to push this thing out, not knowing what I was doing. Now, I had very little experience in doing yoni breathing, so I wasn't doing the breathing techniques because I had very little experience. I didn't know that this is when or how I can implement that. And so I started to relax, calm down, and decided that I was going to just take my time and try to figure this out. And as I sat down, as I calmed down and decided that I was going to push, lay down, push, and try to figure out how to get this thing out. So in the meantime, I'm doing what is yoni breathing, but I didn't know that's what I was doing. I was pushing from my vaginal area, trying to push this thing out. It still wasn't coming out. So I decided instead of lying down, let me squat and try it. Kept pushing and pushing till I felt it move and felt the inside of my muscles move and my muscles start to push it further up to the point where I was able to grab reach for it, grab it, and pull it out. Actually, I didn't actually pull it completely out without pushing at the same time, so it kind of just flew in my hand. So when it was all said and done, I cried. I had so much joy, and I was elated because for one, I was like, I don't have to go to the hospital and have them remove this out of me. Number two, I was glad because I had learned on my own how to push those out with my PC muscles. And I called my guru and I said, oh my God, I gave birth to my egg. I was like a new mother with a new child, and that's what it felt like. So when we learn and we understand what that truly is all about, then I think we can start working with the egg. Now, you can do yoni breathing without an egg, just exercising the muscles and strengthening them and getting them prepared to push an egg out. And so I think that's what most of us may want to learn first before we start utilizing these eggs. But also note, your egg will come out when you have the sensation to go to the bathroom, when you have the sense to have a bowel movement, because what happens is those same muscles are contracted. Those PC muscles are contracted when you do a bowel movement, so it will automatically push your egg out. And there have been many instances where I had to put on a glove and fish for my egg out of the toilet, and that is disgusting, but it is true. So you do have to be careful then. So if anyone is panicking about an egg staying in them, an egg won't stay in you because your digestive system will push it out when it is ready. And so that's why I had to learn that over time rather than knowing that when I first used the egg. But I say all of this to say, again, because there's such a phenomenon now about using eggs and doing this, just putting eggs inside of us. We need to know yoni breathing. We need to know that before we start working with eggs. And what I would hope is that the egg dealers that you work with are helping you understand how to do this, or you take some sort of secondary education on how to do this before you just start plopping eggs in you and wearing them like they're crystals in your pocket, because you can set your intention into an egg and it will actually work. Your eggs will also heal, and you can do your PC exercises with your egg inside of you to test the strength of your PC muscles. I think a lot of women are wearing them because they're wearing them like they would wear jewelry, just inside the body, and like, oh, okay, well, a rose quartz is going to help me with love. But if you're not meditating, if you're not connecting to it, and you just have it in your body like it is a piece of jewelry, then what is the purpose, honestly? So I send that message. I know it was a long-winded message before we got to the book, but I think it was very important. So if anyone is interested in doing yoni breathing or learning those techniques, I am certainly available for that. And you can always inbox me. If you have my phone number, you can text me and we can create a schedule where we can do that. Okay, so now, as I get to the book and we talk about the tools and strategies for overcoming an angry vagina, Queen of Four talks about the tools that is needed in order to do this work or to begin to heal. And so what she says is the tools are the elements. When you combine the elements of ether, air, fire, water, and earth baths, massages, tonics, and packs to promote balance and support your wellness. These are some of the things that we, I hope we are considering and doing when we do our work. It's not just delegated to the foods that we eat, but also the tools that will assist us in further carrying out this work. So when she talks about using the elements, and if you have the book, I'm on page 22, but I'm also going to go to page 24 where she talks about the elements, and then I'll go back to the other tools. She says, the body is made of elements that are present on earth. As a result, we can use these natural elements in nature to heal ourselves. The relationship of the elements of the body and spirit are ether, which is the mind, air, which is the lungs, fire, which is our blood and reproductive organs, water, which is 75% of the body, earth, which is bones, teeth, and colon. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing how she breaks that down. And that's something that we need to know in order to be able to work, do work in healing. The following purification exercises are designed to enlist the benefits of the natural elements, ether, air, fire, water, earth, assist to promote balance and support your wellness. The proper use of these elements will help you be in harmony with nature, the universe, and all your relations. Each exercise incorporates several tools and strategies that Queen suggests you become familiar with them and try to adopt and adapt the activities that support your wellness. Please note, if you have high blood pressure, avoid salt, salt bath, ginger, and tea, and cranberry juice. She says use apple cider vinegar instead of bath salt. And if you have diabetes or high blood pressure, if diabetes or high blood pressure challenges you presently from preventing you from using an ingredient suggested in the exercises, prepare a vegetable green drink or consult with the herbs section for the appropriate substitute. So she has an herbal section in this book that you can follow to replace certain things that interfere or challenges your blood pressure or diabetes. And she says, and then follow the precautions as prescribed by physicians. What I want to say is that if you are doing this work and it is something that challenges your health, if you have other health issues in conjunction with you trying to heal your womb. I think it's important for you to have a discussion with your doctor so that they know that you're doing additional holistic work in order to begin to heal yourself on a personal, spiritual level. And you can bring it to them on that level so that they get an understanding that they are not the only practitioners of your body. I think it's important for us to be our own practitioners first, and the doctors be the secondary practitioner, someone who has the equipment that allows you to see inside your body, that has the equipment that can take your temperature, that has your equipment, the equipment that can look at your bones, and has the equipment that can detect what's going on in your heart. But you, first off is are the physician, and they are just assisting you in having the tools necessary in order to scan your body. I think that's how we should look at doctors, and then also keeping them in the know of what it is that you plan on doing in order to further the healing process. This way we start making the doctors become accountable for really understanding you and getting to know what wellness treatments work for you, as opposed to them telling you what to do. You get to tell your doctors how you want to be how you want to be treated. Okay, I think that's so. Now, as Queen talks about womb wellness liberation exercises for the ether element, she says to sit in your chair, center yourself in wellness, allow your mind and body to become one, breathe deeply. Allow your breath to become one with your womb center. And then move to a comfortable flat surface, either on your bed or on the floor, and place both legs against the wall in a 45-degree angle. And if you have high blood pressure, you want to place your legs on three pillows for more or gentle inversion. Now, I do that because I have a back issue, so I kind of prop the pillows up underneath my knees or underneath my legs, just so that it gives me better leverage and I'm not putting strain on my back. So if that helps you, do the same. It says keep your legs elevated for 10 to 15 minutes. Then massage your forehead in circular motions 9 times as you would inhale and exhale slowly. Massage your heart area in circular motions 9 times as you inhale and exhale slowly. Massage your womb center in circular motions 9 times as you inhale and exhale slowly, and then you clear your mind and let go of your womb trauma. Let it go as you breathe out, and just let go of the womb trauma, drama, and suffering that is a part of your negative past. And while massaging your womb centers, recite some affirmations. Like she gives an example here of, I am massaging away my past, pain, and resentment. And then you breathe deeply. And then you say, I accept peace, power, and joy into my life. And you breathe again. And so the book has some other techniques. And if you have the book, please go through them as I go to the next tool that Queen Afua talks about. And she talks about clay, which is the next tool that we need to use. Now, Queen Afua, Rejuvenation Clay, Green Formula V. She says, clay is a body food made of calcium, magnesium, potassium, and zinc. Green clay can be used as internally and externally to soothe swollen and painful areas of the body and apply as needed. So clays are something new that I started working with just recently, and I never really known just how or what clays were about. And so recently a friend of mine had purchased a clay to give to me, and Queen doesn't really talk about the details of how the clay is to be affected or applied here because I'm not really seeing a section on the clay, but what I typically do, and I was told I use the bentonite clay. Oh, okay, I see where she has it. Okay, we can go to page 41 if you're with me, and she talks about the green clay. And green clay is an organic material that is made up of essential minerals, iron, oxides, and decomposed plant matter. Also known as idiite, clay has been named green clay because it is really and naturally green in color. The green clay has been used for detoxification and rejuvenation for centuries. It can be taken both externally and internally. It has many absorbent properties and makes an excellent tool for detoxification strategies. Green clay is a body food made up of calcium, magnesium, and potassium and zinc. Now, I have the bentonite clay, which is a gray clay, and I've been using it externally because I have a fear of using it internally. It is very dry. When I put it on my skin, it dries out my skin. So I don't use it very often. My skin is oily by nature, and I really don't want to lose a lot of the oils because that's what keeps my skin really, really nice. My skin has been really weird because the changes from being from New York to Florida, I was told by my doctor and I was told by a few people that it's going to take my skin a while to get used to the different climates. So because I've been wondering why I've been breaking out, why am I getting these little red bumps on my face, and I didn't understand what was going on with my skin. And then when I consulted with a dermatologist and I consulted with some people who I knew that just moved here, they said the same thing happened to them for about a year that they've been here. The skin broke out because of the change in climate. And the more often that I travel to New York and go back and forth, it's going to last longer because the changes in climate and the changes of the weather. So it's been nerve-wracking because with that I'm trying to find solutions in order to get rid of this, not realizing it's more the climate than it is about what I can do in order to stop it from happening. But I've been using the bentonite clay, which has been really drying my skin out, and I stopped using it because it was just too dry. So once I felt how dry it was on my skin, I did not want to take it internally. But I do brush my teeth with it. I do only use it for that reason, and I found it to be really a really good cleanser for my teeth. But like I said, as I've realized, it's very dry. Even when I brush my teeth, I have to rinse out several times because it's extremely dry. But the bentonite clay or any type of clay that you use, you just have to use it by the dosage and the amount that is being shared. And Queen actually gives a chart that talks about how you should use the clay. And I'll try to post that to the event page. But in Queen Afua's Rejuvenation Clay formula, she has enhanced naturally occurring minerals with the fusion of essential oils. So she has added red clover, eucalyptus oil, peppermint oil, and distilled water. And because the green clay is the ingredient in this formula, the product can be useful for womb rejuvenation. And she says there have been just testimonies on how the green clay has relieved people from heartburn, indigestion, diarrhea, as well as women-related issues such as menstrual cramps and morning sicknesses. So the clay seems to be very effective. I haven't used it enough to know the differences, but she also has what you can use the clay for. And you can use it for your scalp, your face, your eyes, your ears, your gums, especially if you have bleeding gums, for your teeth to remove plaque and bacteria, and that's what I typically use it for your thyroid. If you have an enlarged thyroid gland, it helps shrink it a little bit or shrink it at some point, and she says to use it overnight. But she also says you can use it on your bones and joints, and then your lungs for asthma. So I'm guessing that you would need to apply it over your lungs, like just on your chest. She says it's good for boils because it draws out mucus. That is an excellent, excellent, excellent thing because I know a lot of people have boils on their back. She says to use it on your breast tumors and cysts, for your kidneys, for water retention, And she says, just place it on the gauze over your kidneys. So most of it, she's saying to apply it on those particular areas as opposed to take it internally. I don't see where she says to take it internally, but she says to apply it over those areas. You could apply it to your womb for fibroid pain, tumors, cysts, and vaginal discharge and itching. So for those ladies who have tumors and fibroids, you can use the clay overnight on you for about 2 hours and apply it with gauze over your womb area. And then she says just to insert a teaspoon of the clay with a cotton swab and or use it like a vaginal insert. So I will post that, and if you have the book, you may see it. It's on page 43. She also says you can use it for your liver, and it will assist in cleansing your blood, your bladder, which will soothe urinary inflammation, on your feet. It will pull out toxins trapped in your body through the sweat glands of your feet, which is important. That's why it's also good to soak your feet in the evenings or when you throughout the course of the day, because you have toxins that come out through your feet. You can use it for internal use. Now, this is the first time I've seen this one. And she says if you have pain throughout the body, you can blend it into your drink. You can use 1 tablespoon with 8 ounce glass of water or juice, and you can take it that way. And then you can, for men, they can use it on their male genitalia to draw out bacteria, which is very, very useful and helpful to know. Share this with a brother, especially if he is sexually active. He can bacteria from his genitals. You want to use it for your hands because it rejuvenates and softens it. And on your skin, it says because it improves, it creates radiant skin. It did the opposite for my skin, so I can't really mess with it. And you have, it's a trial and error, so whatever you use that's brand new to your body, you want to be able to assess if it worked for you or not. And then for your sinuses, she says it clears the blockages, so you apply it over your sinuses. But that is very helpful to know, because I had no idea how to use my clay. Now, in all this time, my clay has been sitting here, and it's practically brand new, and I didn't know how to use it. But I'm going to open up the lines and see if there are any questions and any comments the ladies want to make. And I'm going to open up the first call of last 4 digits of 2136. Welcome.
Peace and blessings, Queen.
Peace and blessings. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be back on. it's been a minute.
Good. I did have a response to the clay. The clay, mm-hmm. I do use it internally, especially if I have an upset stomach, and it mm-hmm. does clear your sinuses as well. I use it in a meditation bath that mm-hmm. I did, and it is phenomenal. It really cleanses. It's just like peppermint, and I thought it was going to taste really, really bad, but it didn't.
Oh, wow.
Because I use the breath of life. As well as mm-hmm. sit in a green lemonade that I usually make, and it was really, really good. So mm-hmm. it does pump at the bottom sometimes, but I just kind of mm-hmm. mix it up, and I love it. I love it. It really works for me.
I've used the Breath of Life before. When I had met with Queen of Four, she had gave us some samples, which was really, really good, like really powerful stuff. And but I never got the opportunity, and maybe I'll order the clay from her, because I have the bentonite clay, which I use just in brushing my teeth. But now to look at all these other benefits that it serves, I'm a bit more open to using it for other things. But I'm glad that you mentioned that you used it and that it worked very well for you, so that'll definitely encourage some of the women to kind of be open to using clays and things like that. Like, we do our regular beauty regimens with the soaps and things that we use, but I think to go the extra step in healing overall would be awesome to use the clay. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
All right. I'm going to open up the caller with the last four digits of 7176. Welcome. 7176? Okay, maybe you'd just rather listen. So just going to let the ladies know, if you're looking to just listen to the call, please press 1 to take yourself out of the queue. And what it will do is allow you to continue to listen, but I won't happen to call on you if you're not ready to have conversation and you just want to listen. Okay. Caller with the last four digits of 9147. Welcome. 9147.
Hello?
Yes,
hello.
Welcome.
Hi, it's Miss Vicky. Hi.
Hello, Miss Vicky. How are you?
I've never used clay before. I've seen it. I've seen other brands. I really don't know who to buy, who to trust. I don't really. It's nice to know that there's all these different ways of using it, but I don't know. I'm just unsure about the whole clay thing, period. But that's just my personal opinion.
No, saying that, because I've never
used that tool yet. I mostly use essential oils, the bath, the herbs, teas, tonics, meditation, prayer.
Well, you absolutely want to use what's best for you. You know, it's not to say that what works for somebody else will work for you. I think
I'm using what I have.
Yeah.
I'm only using what I have access to. I mean, I can't afford to get a lot of the things that is available or that is needed. I mean, let's say if I'm by the dollar store or near some place where, you know, I keep a vision of all the stuff that is needed, and if I happen to see it at a good price, then I get it. But I don't break my neck trying to get, like, all one brand by one particular manufacturer or one particular person is promoting it, no.
Right.
So
I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is not a cheap journey. This is a very expensive journey.
Oh, yes, but you know what? It absolutely is, and at the same time, life is expensive. Everything is expensive, but you do have to ask yourself, how worth it are you? You know, we spend a lot of years doing what we've been raised on, and what we've been raised on is works for our budget, you know, and sometimes we step outside of it. Sometimes to step out of that budget, it's difficult to do. But we have to look at something, the little things that add to our or take from our budget that we can stand to lose over gaining something for ourselves. You know, like for instance, when I was speaking on making contributions to businesses by giving up something that you know is a negative thing, like someone who might smoke. And even though it's easy to say stop smoking, it's not easy for people to just do it. But sometimes that stop smoking or spending that money on that particular thing will open you up to be able to spend on something else. So we have to decide, you know, how much of our health do we want to take in our own hands and make it so that we have wellness. And it's baby steps. We don't do it overnight because someone said, oh, you should try this clay. It's going to heal everything. You take baby steps. You say, you know what, maybe one day I might treat myself to it and get it. And then, you know, what tends to happen, if it works well for you, then you start to adopt it and you say, you know what, I'm going to start putting this into my budget. So it just takes little things like that to open yourself. But I understand what you mean because even with the journey that we were doing for the Sacred Woman, there were a lot of tools and things that we needed to have in order to do the journey. But what I did was I told the ladies, and I had to apply this to myself, is don't be discouraged because you don't have everything, because everything is not for everybody. And your journey is not based on what you are able to afford. Your journey is based on what your spirit is guiding you to do.
What you're willing to do.
Exactly, you know, and so, and then those things will come. What I started to learn through the course of all these things that I do with doing the meditation and sitting down and calling on my ancestors, doors have been opening so that I was blessed to be able to get things. Like the bentonite clay, I didn't go buy it because, for one, I couldn't find it here. But I was told about it. A beautiful friend had sent it to me for free. Like,
yeah, I've been getting a lot of things as gifts. People been
exactly.
Mail.
That's
I had
what
a friend mail me
mean,
stuff. They mail me a stone.
Mm-hmm.
They mail me a set of cards.
Mm-hmm.
I've been gifted a lot of the things. So once I made an intention that I wanted to take the Sacred Woman Journey, then I started meeting people. Then I started developing relationships. Then I started, my first amethyst was a gift. My first set of cards was a gift. Well, two sets of cards were a gift. So things are just like, people are giving me stuff. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, well, I needed that for wound control zone 7 or, you know, things are coming. So it does kind of like, you manifest the people, the relationships, and the things that become as gifts.
Absolutely.
Or
that's
kind
why
of,
I tell
you, guide
you
through.
Don't be discouraged. Yeah, don't be discouraged, because once you put it out there in the universe and the universe knows your intent, it comes back. It comes back. There's many things that I was surprised that I was able to get along my journey. And then you make do with what you have. You know, what you have is going to be sufficient for you in this present time for right now. So it's definitely something to – and when we write our goals down, that's us telling the universe what we want too. You know, if we say, you know what, I want to get these type of products so that could help me with this, that, and the third, you know, and it'll start to manifest itself. We have that power, and you have that power. So I'm going to open up another line. Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I only have one question.
How
do you become a manifester? Like, how? What are the steps of manifesting? Because I've been reading and watching videos, and it's getting kind of complicated. I've done the law of attraction and all that, but it's like I need a real talk, simplified.
Well,
how to manifest what you want?
Well, the first thing that
vision
I was
boards and stuff.
Well, the first thing that I would want to share with you, I'm gonna share you this quiz or this test and the video to go with it to find out if you're a manifestor generator. There's something called a person who is a manifestor generator, and it is based on your birth, the time of the day that you was born, and your name, and it'll tell you who you are as far as the individual and what type of individual you are as far as manifesting and generating prosperity. Now, what I do, because I didn't know anything about it before, but I was innately just connecting to it just on self. You first have to change your language. You first have to change how you speak. It really, that's really what works for me. I can't say that it works for everybody, but I'm going to tell you what works for me. And I put myself in a position in life where I could command anything that I want, and I get it. If I don't get it by the 5 minutes that after I spoke it, I have it by the end of the day. And it never fails. And so
I like that.
And it's amazing because I get, and it's not unreasonable stuff. Like, I'm not going to say, you know what, I want a car to drop out the sky, and at the end of the day, a car going to drop out of the sky. No, it's not
logical
that.
And realistic.
Like, but it's realistic, and it is in accordance to what my basic needs are. And sometimes it works with what I desire, you know. And so what I do is I change my language first. And I always, people say pray all the time, but what I do is when I pray, I don't ask for anything. I don't ask for nothing. I say that I'm grateful for everything that I have, and I'm grateful for the things that I'm going to receive. And I don't ask because asking is, to me, my opinion, asking is doubting. When you have to ask,
you have no confidence.
Typically when we say, exactly. Typically, if we are connected to God and the universe, and God knows our every desire, why are we asking? What we need
to
do is use our power, and know that it is ours, and be grateful for it. And so that's how I actually learned to just change my language. And then I also write down what it is, put it on paper, take what is what I know that is that I desire or I know that is deserving of me, and I write it down on paper. Now, what I do is because I have my altar set up, I take my crystals and I create a crystal grid on top of what I wrote. So I'll take this piece of paper and I'll lay it under on my altar and I'll.
You there? Hello? Hello?
Okay, I'm sorry about that. My call had dropped, and this has been happening. This has been happening with Blog Talk on all the shows, so please pardon me. But what I do is I create a crystal grid, and
on the paper
I lay it on top of. I lay it on top of, you know, what I want to have manifested, and or what I know that is going to happen. And what I do is I do a meditation, and I have a crystal wand that I use my wand over it, and I chant over it. And I constantly stay in awareness of what it is that I want. And I continue to focus on it in the language that I speak, whether it be, for instance, if I tell someone I'm interested in start to doing classes on a larger scale, and I'm going to try to get this place to do it, so I'm going to start doing classes that way. And so what I do is I make it part of my daily conversation so that I'm always in the know of it, and I tell people, you know, I'm so grateful to be able to do meditation classes because, you know, it just helps me be able to expand and help other people, and, you know, and then go on with my day. And then if I talk to somebody else, I start sharing it, and I start putting it out there. So a lot of times it's more about the language and what we speak and how we connect to it that way. More than it is for me to sit down and meditate about it, because I'm always discussing and I'm always putting it out there. And then what you do is when you do meditate, you visualize yourself doing those things. When I do the yoni breathing, that's when I visualize my things, my manifestations, because what I do is I combine it with my orgasmic energy that I'm having when I do my PC contractions, and also creating orgasms that connect to that energy, to connect to that higher power. And a lot of times I do it in front of my altar so that my ancestors are engaged and they know what it is.
I don't have a
desire.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I don't have an altar. I don't have a place for an altar, and I'm having a problem with the super spiritual Christian that won't even allow me to burn incense or handle anything. I'm basically called an idol worshiper. And I'm worshiping a false god, so I'm not in a position to even do half of the things I want to do until I can move into my own place. So I'm trying to manifest relationships, income, and favor, and influence to get my own apartment. So, I mean, my kids can no longer be in this restricted environment. I can't express myself in a spiritual way, and I'm being questioned about my salvation. And I'm like, what my salvation got to do with me taking and playing?
Well, let me ask you something.
It's getting more and more complicated. The more I'm committing to the tools and strategies and really getting more into my sacred woman journey, I'm meeting a lot of resistance and negativity.
Well, let me ask you something. You have time where you get to take a shower by yourself, right?
Yeah. What a key.
You don't have nobody trying to invade your space. So that's where you do your rituals then. If that's the only time that you have to yourself where people are not in your space or in your business about what you're doing on a spiritual level, then you make your shower time before you get in the shower or your bath time your sacred time. If that's the only place or only space
where you
can
do that. Because I was about to take a spiritual bath before I got on the call, because I had me a cup of tea and some herbal tea. You know, I'm trying to just calm myself. I've been meditating most of the day. I said, well, let me cap this off with a good spiritual bath. And I go in the bathroom, and the tub is full, it's overflowed with feces water and tissue paper. So I'm kind of like frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need to be in the water. I know the benefits of the spiritual bath. I'm know what it's doing for me. I know how it's
because you're connecting to the elements now. You're connecting to the elements, and then you have that private space where nobody can come into the bathroom and disturb you, and you have
that time.
You make it in time.
I can put my crystals in the water. I don't have to worry about, like, oh, spooky, somebody's going to come.
Absolutely.
I'm going to get struck down from the masculine God of heaven, and I'm going to hell in a handbag, you know.
Absolutely. So I'm going to open up some more of these lines.
Thank you.
No problem. Anytime, love. You know, I'm always here. Okay? Thank you. You too, love. The caller with the last four digits of 1713, welcome.
Hi.
1713, hi. Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, so have you been on the path of using any of the elements that, because I know you have the book. How far along have you been able to follow the book as far as being able to use the elements and things for your work?
I've never used the clay. You know, I was a little apprehensive of using it because I wasn't sure which clay was, you know, which clay was going to be right, or, you know, which was not, like, faulty or whatever. So I'm still trying to actually do the research on that. The only thing that I have been doing was... Yes, I guess as far as healing my womb was inserting like little herbal pearls in it. But that's about it. I haven't really been following anything in the book. I've been kind of going outside of the book.
Yeah. So you said you've been using herbal pearls?
Yeah, there's this woman on Facebook who has she put. It's like a, I don't even know, it's kind of hard to describe, but it's like a little pearl with herbs in it, and you inject it, I mean, you put it inside your vagina, and it starts going through the process of detoxing it. I leave it in there for like 3 days, and then once I pull it out, you have to put like a tampon on because your body, your vagina starts purging out all the negative, you know, the negative stuff or the, that comes out of it. So it's been working.
Wow. If you have a picture of it, can you post it to the event page or post it to the Sacred Woman group? That sounds so interesting. I haven't heard of that before.
Yep, I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, it's something that definitely I would be interested in knowing more about and to add to the regimen of some of the work that I'm doing or at least know about it so that I can share it with other women who might be interested. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll do it.
All right. Well, I'm going to get back to the book, and thank you so much for sharing poetry. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
All right. So nice little gems. Thank you, ladies, for sharing some of the regimens and things that you do. And thank you, Vicky, for asking the question just in reference to generating things and being able to have some private time. I hope it works out for you. So as I go back to the book, the other tools and strategies that Queen of Four talks about, and just in the likes of what poetry was sharing in the, with the herbs and bulbs, she says that the herbs, plants, and bulbs in ancient cultures, most cures and remedies were made from plants. Herbs and plants and bulbs were proven wellness tools. So just in what she was speaking in the likes of using something like that, definitely something interesting that we might want to look into. As I read the section on herbs, it's on page 30 for anyone who has the book. So we're going to start with what she talks about the herbs. In ancient cultures, most cultures and cures and remedies were made from plants. Even to the present millennium, around the globe, women's medicine chests contained vials and tinctures from flowers, jars of salves from plants, and bundles of dried roots, stems, and leaves to be turned into herbal beverages
soaks and washes. Okay. Jerry Ann, which is her godmother Betty, who is now an ancestor, was an avid fan of chickweed herb. She would make chickweed solution and apply it to the affected area for quick relief and elimination around skin irritation. She highly praised chickweed washes for everything from diaper rashes to vaginal douching. That's awesome because I have chickweed and I have yet to use it. So maybe I can start using it on my skin, on my face. The following herbal and natural remedies can be used to support the womb and wellness-related issues, particularly during the 28-day womb detox fast. Use 2 or 3 herbs daily according to your needs. Beyond your fast, continue to include appropriate herbs and tools to support your wellness strategies. So she teaches you and she shows you how to be able to prepare your herbs. Typically, I do most of my herbs as infusions. And the infusions are when you take the herb itself. I typically put them in a mason jar, and then I add boiling water, the mason jar, and then I close it and I let it sit. I let the herb sit in the water for about typically 30 minutes, sometimes an hour, depends on the herb that I'm using. Like when I use the red raspberry or make the red raspberry tea, I typically leave it in there until the water is dark enough, and that usually is about 30 to 45 minutes. And then I seep it, the herbs out with a strainer, and there I have my infusion. An infusion is just something that I can drink. Or I can also create the infusion to, like with comfrey, to make a skin exfoliant. And with comfrey is really good for skin ailments as well. And I'll just read a little bit about comfrey because comfrey is really good. And it's really said not to drink the comfrey, but in some cases, what I've learned as an herbalist and my herbal teacher says, you know, she does, but typically herbalists will not tell their clients to drink it. But what it does, it relieves inflammation, especially swollen breasts. So if you're a nursing mom and you get swollen breasts, you can use comfrey by making a pollutant combined with steeping comfrey leaves in green clay and using it in a cheesecloth just to make it like a paste. And then you can apply it over your breast overnight to relieve the inflammation. If you want to use it for vaginal discharge, you can make a comfrey solution by boiling a cup of water and steep 4 tablespoons of comfrey herbs in the water overnight, and then wash the vagina with a clean cloth that has been soaked comfrey solution. That is very important because you don't want to use any washcloth that's already used with regular water. You want to seep it or soak it in the comfrey. And then you speak an affirmation. As I renew myself, my breasts, and my womb, I'm nourished by nature and the light of the love of the Creator. And so she lists several other herbs that are really good for us, and I'm going to just name them, and then you can look them up, or what I can do is add them to the page. But she says use aloe vera for general wellness and mild bowel regulator and soothing and moisturizing. I drink straight out of the aloe plant. Like I will cut a cactus open, and I will eat from it, and it is gross, but it does wonders. It actually heals the body internally. It assists me with my digestion. And then I use the sticky part, which is directly underneath the skin of the cactus or the aloe. The sticky part, I actually put that portion of it on my skin. Sometimes I mix it with the olive oil and put it in my hair and my scalp. And sometimes I'll use it as a conditioner. And so she talks about cayenne pepper, which is good for blood circulation. And I am someone who carries cayenne pepper with me because it is known to stop heart attacks. And so if I am in a place where someone is having some sort of issue, and I've seen it happen a couple of times, I have cayenne pepper right there, or even just for myself. God knows, only knows, you know, what can happen when you're out and about. And then she says chickweed for skin irritation, comfrey, again, for inflammation, Dandelion, which is very, very great for strengthening the blood, especially if you are anemic. And it is for any women who have excessive menstrual flow. It is good to use dandelion. Dandelion is also good for digestive issues as well. Echinacea, which is used when a woman has cancer in the womb, whether it be tumors or fibroids and things like that. And I was just told about this herb recently, fenugreek, and it is used for an inflamed uterus, when the uterus is inflamed. But I was told to be able to use this for, what was it that she was telling me, for your teeth, for your mouth, for oral wellness, to use that as well. And so my herbal teacher kind of put me onto it. So now I've been stuck on it. Now that I'm going through all these changes with getting my my teeth done and getting wisdoms pulled out and getting things replaced and stuff like that, she told me to use it for that, which it has been very helpful. Garlic bulb is another one, which is nature's helper in fighting infections. Garlic is great for fighting infections. Ginger, which is good for blood circulation, and it relieves nausea. And we all know that if you're a woman with morning sickness, you want to kind of use some ginger, drink some ginger tea. Marshmallow for vaginal burning. Oat straw for menstrual cramps. And red clover for womb tone rejuvenation. Red raspberry, which is awesome, awesome, awesome. It's one of my favorite herbs. Definitely gets rid of the pain during menstrual cycles. It relaxes the womb. It really relaxes the pelvic floor. And my daughter drinks it as well for her menstrual. Rosemary, which is for symptoms for women who are going through menopause. Sage, which is for blocked menses and to stop the flow of breast milk. So women, if you're nursing and you want to wean your baby off, you can use sage, and it will assist you. Shepherd's purse, which is also a great, great, great herb, and it is good to relieve heavy bleeding. Shepherd's purse has a lot of wonderful benefits, and I'm actually going to post the information on that. That was like one of the first herbs that I've learned as an herbalist. Slippery elm, which is also an excellent one, is relief for vaginal itching and burning. Sweet meadow, which is good for easing symptoms from endometriosis, which is a very painful illness. White willow, which is nature's helper for dis-ease or discomfort, to ease discomfort. And then wood betony, which I've never heard of, which is a relaxant. It helps relax you from nervousness, headaches, menstrual issues. So it helps with child labor as well. And then lemon verbena, which is good for symptoms for cold, flu, nausea, and digestion, upset stomach. Perfect for upset stomach. So if you have the book, Queen Afua has many different types of tools and strategies. And the last strategy we're going to talk for the evening before we finish out the call is gemstones. Okay, and then next week we'll talk about the rest of the other tools and strategies because there's so much more. But what I want to talk about with gemstones, Queen says that gemstones records from the earliest history of humanity and shows that gemstones have long been used to promote spiritual, emotional, and physical wellness. And I can absolutely vouch for that. I can absolutely vouch for it. As someone who has become a certified crystal meditation healer and someone who works with gemstones on a daily basis, I can absolutely tell you the power of these crystals and these stones are so magnifying. They're so, they just aid us. They just connect it to us and is very, very powerful. So Queen Afua says, gather your gemstones. Gemstones often called bones of the earth. That is so appropriate for that. are another wellness tool used by humans for thousands of years. And as with all tools, there are professionals who are trained to use them. I encourage you to seek their services in order to reap the optimum benefits of each gemstone therapy. Meanwhile, as you empower yourself to take an active role in your own wellness, explore the world of precious and semi-precious stones. Research shows that a relationship between the gemstone therapy and the enhanced wellness to the inner being. Gemstone work focuses on your non-physical wounds. The womb of the heart, which is your emotions, the womb of your mind, which is your thoughts, and listen to the inner womb, into your inner womb. Consider the properties of purification, amplification, and balancing that are associated with gems. So the strategies for using gemstones for your personal use, for your personal hygiene and beauty, and so you can wear them as necklaces and bracelets and waist beads and earrings. Now, for your body, you want to place gemstones in and around your tub when you take a bath. So, Vicki, that would be for you. If you have any crystals, you definitely want to place them in your bath and around you. But also be careful and make sure that your crystals are not water-soluble, because some crystals that are in their raw form and not treated with a gloss will dissolve in water. And it really depends on which ones that you use. And I will post that so that the ladies know which ones to not put in water. For your womb, for your body, place the gemstones in and around your tub while you take a bath and get a hot rock massage. A Swedish massage with hot rocks is the best thing you could ever. I've had that done, and I wanted to melt into the floor. It was the most beautiful thing, the most beautiful experience, and it helped my back tremendously. At that time, I was having serious back pain, and a lot of it was due to menstrual issues. And when I got that Swedish massage with those hot rocks, it was like being in heaven. Oh, my God, it's the best thing. And it's important to treat our bodies that way. For our wombs, touch and hold gemstones to your womb center. Meditate for 5 to 15 minutes on empowerment and wellness. Just the same as you may put a yoni egg inside of you, you want to be able to hold a crystal up to your womb and vibrate that energy into your womb center. Very important. And then for your space, your home, your office, and your car, place the gemstones on a string of gemstones and place them where you see them, and be reminded to stay strong and solid on your quest for your own wellness. That is very important. What I want to say is that charge your crystals. Put your desires and what you want manifested. Speak it into your crystal while you're holding it and you're breathing. And then carry it with you to work and leave it at your desk or leave it in your office, so that every time that you go to work or every time that you are dealing with something in your office or at work, you can look at it. If you work from home, have a sacred space where you can go to or wear something, a bracelet, a crystal bracelet that will remind you of your journey, that will keep you consistently aware and in the present time of your journey. Because sometimes we allow situations outside of us to affect us, and then we get disconnected from where our journey is. So we want to get back to it. We want to stay in clear focus of being on that path. So we want to have these little reminders, and these crystals and gemstones will absolutely help you being able to remind you of what's going on. So Queen gives a list of crystals and stones that you can utilize that will assist you in doing some of the work. So amethyst, which is purple in color, lavender in color, it inspires meditation. It's related to the womb mind. It encourages mental strength. So you want to have an amethyst. Black tourmaline, it disperses negative energy. So you want to have that for your womb mind and your womb heart. It encourages positivity. So it removes all of the negative or keeps the negative away from you. Bloodstone supports strength and vitality of the body and the solar plexus, which you really want to hold that up to your solar plexus. And it is the mind womb and the heart womb that encourages your confidence. Okay, so it will give you strength to be more confident. Clear quartz supports clarity. And it is for your mind womb and your heart womb, and it encourages confidence and seeks wellness. What clear quartz also does is clear quartz also amplifies any other crystal stone that you have in your hand, so for, or you have in your meditation. So, for instance, if you have a rose quartz in your hand with a clear quartz in your hand, it's going to amplify the love. It's going to amplify forgiveness. It's going to amplify love of self and how you receive and understand love. It's going to amplify that crystal, and it will amplify all crystals, and it also can be used for all of your chakras to align every last one of them, and especially if you use smoky quartz. Smoky quartz will is a high vibrational stone, and it will also align all of your chakras. So you can hold that one crystal in your hand and you can do meditation in opening your chakras, and it will balance. It will assist you to balance all of them. Emerald. Emerald is an awesome stone. It is a birthing stone, and it supports growth and transformation, and is good for your mind womb, your heart womb, and your reproductive womb. It encourages growth. It also, emerald is also a crystal of wealth. It's a crystal of good fortune and wealth and success. So you want to carry that with you as well. You want to carry an emerald in your pocket, or you want to carry it in a bag. Also, you want to carry a lapis lazuli because it relieves depression if you're someone that operates on depression, and it supports idealism. It's your mind womb, your heart womb, and it encourages you in reaching and setting your goals. Very important for those who are looking to manifest. And I say this, Vicki, you can use lapis lazuli also in order to reach your goals. It will help you and assist you in manifesting. And you can also recite affirmations with it. And I'm gonna try to post these as well. Malachite is a symbol of creativity and transformation, and it is your mind womb, your heart womb, and it encourages balance and harmony. Moonstone, which is a symbol of feminine and emotional energy, and it will it is related to your heart womb, and it soothes and calms your emotions. Very, very important to have. A lot of jewelry is made from moonstone. So that's why these people call some of these rings, they'll call them mood rings, and they change colors every time your mood changes. That is made from moonstone. Rose quartz supports clarity of the womb center, and that's for your heart womb. And it restores compassion, and again, it assists in love. It helps you with forgiveness. It encourages forgiveness. Rose quartz I hold over my heart chakra and do meditations with that. Turquoise absorbs negativity and purifies wounded wounds. It is the mind womb, and it encourages restoration of wellness. Okay, and then I think that was the last one that she had. And these are the crystals that she also talked about in Sacred Woman for all of us to carry with us, with the exception of a few others that she mentioned. But I have such a love affair with crystals and stones because I feel a difference in my entire life. And just having a few of them, you don't need to have a bunch of them. You don't have to have a collection of them. If you have a few of them that you work with all the time, you want to charge them regularly. You want to make sure that you clear them. And whatever stones that need to be cleared, there are some stones that you don't ever have to cleanse or clear them because they cleanse and clear themselves. Like fluorite is one that you don't even have to clean and cleanse. You just charge it that one time when you get it, and then you'll be able to work with it always. And there's several other ones that you don't have to consistently clear and charge. They charge on their own. I believe carnelian is another one. But they're very essential to have and not to just carry around with you. A lot of people just carry them around with them, and sometimes we forget they're in our pockets and stuff. I think it's so important that we work with them, not just have them sit there in our pockets or on our desks and things like that. Sometimes in the course of my work day, I will pick up my crystal and I will hold it, and I will just think of something positive, and that energy from that crystal will go inside and just charge me. So sometimes just holding it and breathing with it can help you and aid you in continuous healing. So with that being said, I'm going to open up the lines one last time and see if there are any comments or any of the ladies want to share anything before we conclude this session. So all the lines are open. Any of you ladies have any questions or any thoughts that you'd like to share before we conclude? Okay. All right. So we're going to resume again next week, and we're going to talk some more about some of the tools that Queen Fu talked about in assisting us in overcoming this angry vagina. This was a pretty mild show, only because of the fact that we want to get some of these tools known and we want to actually start doing some work. And again, I encourage that. I also want to let you know to join me this coming Wednesday as we continue to talk about the education or introduction of the chakras, where we're going to be talking about the fifth chakra. And this is when we start getting into our spiritual chakras. This will be my first time actually doing a broadcast on this particular chakra. As you know, I've been doing the YouTube videos, and I haven't quite gotten to the fifth chakra. So this will be my first time really speaking on it. And this should be a really, really good show because it talks about our fifth chakra being a place of our communication, where our truth resides, and how we share the truth of who we are. It's going to be amazing. And what I'm going to try to do is for future shows of the overcoming, to try to tie it into our chakras. I think it's time for many of us to just start really diving into it and utilizing it as part of our daily routine, because the chakras are something that's within us, not something that you have to go and get. It's just here. And that's the easiest thing that we can start working with in order to affect our healing process. So I hope you guys can join me. It's going to be at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, and we're going to talk avidly about it. I'm going to give as much education. It may be a two-hour show because these spiritual chakras require a lot more emphasis because they're just places that we typically are not aware of the balance there. Most of us are typically unbalanced in our earthly chakras, and we don't pay so much attention to our upper chakras. So I'm definitely going to emphasize that. But also on Thursday, there's another show that I'll be doing with the King Me, which starts at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to continue the conversation of infidelity. It was a very enlightening conversation that we had on Thursday, and we're going to continue it because it was such a hot topic, and it was something, so many points and good things that we have brought to the table that we want to conclude on. So please join me on Thursday at Elevation Radio, and I will post that to the event page as well. So, again, I want to thank you ladies for joining me. Have a good evening, and we will resume again next Sunday. Peace.